Let us pray. Gather us in, O Lord, and help us on this journey. Give us the strength and the willingness to follow you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, when I was in school, I found out that people were talking about me, and it was quite crushing. And the crushing part wasn't that, you know, kids were talking about me, because I expected that. You know, I talked about other people when I was that age, and that's just the way it was. You expect that from your classmates, but you don't expect it from your teachers, right? And I found out that they, too, were talking about me, because that's what goes on in the teacher's lounge. Did you know that? I found that out. It was quite disturbing. And I found out that I was a hot topic of conversation. Now, you all know, because I've said it a lot of times, that I was ADD when they spelled it B-A-D. You know? I was always getting into trouble of some sort. But I wasn't bad. You know, I mean, like, okay, I talked a lot. A lot. I mean, I get paid for it now. That ought to tell you something. So, you know, I like to talk. And staying in my desk, well, that was... it wasn't really optional for me. And so, you know, I moved around a lot. And holding your hand before, raising your hand before you talk, well, whatever. Wasn't really good at that. But it's not like I was cheating off of kids' papers. You know, I wasn't smoking weed in the bathroom or anything else for that matter. I wasn't getting in fights. I wasn't stealing anything. I was just, you know, adventurous. You know? And yet they wanted to talked about that. In fact, if I was that kid, you know, they're going through their new class roles every year or every semester, and they, you got him? Good luck with that. And that was me. But like I said, I wasn't that bad. But as my mom described it, it was like this. So here's the line, right? And I would walk up right to that line. I wasn't going to go over the line because I knew what happened when you go over the line. Now, okay, to be fair, I might, you know, tap a toe over just a little just to make sure that that's where the line was, because if nothing happened when you tap a toe over, then you get to move up a little bit because the line moved. But I wasn't taking giant leaps over. I wasn't, like, driving through the line. I was just, you know, coming right up to it. And I'm still that way. I mean, it was a highway patrol officer, a friend of mine, told me a long time ago. He said, you know, 9 you're fine, 10 you're mine. And that's my theme of driving. You know, I'm not one of these people that just speeds everywhere I go. I don't go more than 10 miles over the speed limit. 9 is fine. That's what he said. That's the line. You got to know the line. But whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether, you know, whoever, there's a line. Look, they know this in sports. Every coach, I guarantee you, on the collegiate level, probably the high school level, is like, they know the refs. They know what the refs pick out. They know what they're hard on. They know what they can get away with. And so you'll see some games that are very physical because the refs don't blow the whistle, and then some that aren't so much. And they know this. And we know this in our marriages. We know this in our friendship. Look, I guarantee you, there are some jobs out there that the boss doesn't care when you show up, just that you show up. But that boss cares a whole lot if you do your stuff on time, right? Or if you speak well to the customers or the clients. That's what's most important. That's where the line is. In every marriage, there's a line that you better not cross, because if you do... Well, you know, Colt said earlier that we can't fly. That's true. That is not a superhero trait that we have. But you know what we do have? Everybody has a little bit of the Incredible Hulk in them. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? The Incredible Hulk, because of some scientific accident, scientist Bruce Banner, mild-mannered, nice guy, all of a sudden, you make him mad, and he turns into this green, massive monster that will destroy anyone and everyone in his way. And, I mean, the quote was, "Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." Well, I guarantee you, my mother was like that. My father was like that. I'm like that. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. There's a line. Don't cross the line. You think Jesus has that line? Like that line in the sand that you better not cross. Because, I mean, when we talk about Jesus, we talk about Jesus loving us and how wonderful Jesus is. I mean, and let's be honest, people were pretty annoying to Jesus, right? I mean, he would say things and do things, and there were people like, oh, no, you can't do that, you can't say that. But he was okay. You know, he was walking through crowds, and people are grabbing on his clothes. You think he gets mad about that? No, he's like, oh, who the power went out. Oh, nice lady, here, you're healed. Oh, you ran out of wine at a party? How dare you? No, Jesus doesn't get upset. He just makes more wine. This is Jesus. Mild-mannered, nice, loving Jesus. But in today's gospel reading, somebody crossed the line. Right? Because what we missed, what happened in the Bible just before this, Jesus was asking his disciples, he said, who do the people say that I am? And they were like, well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and, you know, still others, some one of the prophets. And then he points the question, he says, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter pipes up, he goes, you are the Messiah. And in the other Gospels, it's like winter, winter, chicken dinner. It's a huge celebration. But in Mark's Gospel, it just sort of says, Jesus says, orders him sternly not to tell anyone about who he is. Okay. But then Jesus begins to describe what that means to be the Messiah. And he says that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the scribes, and the chief priests, and then be killed, and on the third day rise again. And Peter's, you know, probably still happy about the grand proclamation he had just made. And so he begins to rebuke Jesus. Now, rebuke, that's a weird word, right? When's the last time you say, I got rebuked at school today, Mom? No. But it kind of means the same thing. It means like he sort of calls him on the carpet. He kind of chastises him, which is weird for a disciple to be chastising Jesus. But what we find right then is that Jesus was having none of it. Peter crossed the line. Because Jesus goes back to him and says, get behind me, Satan. What do you have to do for the Son of God to call you Satan? That can't feel good. You know, I mean, I've been called a lot of things in my life, but I think Jesus calling me Satan would take the cake. That is not going to feel good at all. But there it is. Peter crossed the line, and Jesus had enough. Get behind me, Satan. You're setting your mind not on things of heaven, but on things of earth. So as for us not to cross that line with the Son of God, let's talk about what it is that Peter did that crossed that line. I mean, at first glance, it would be, okay, well, it's probably because he rebuked Jesus. I mean, you're not supposed to do that to your teacher. You're not supposed to do that to the Son of God. You know, chastise and call him on the carpet. You don't do that. But here's the thing. Jesus was getting rebuked all the time, right? Religious leaders were, every time Jesus would heal somebody on the Sabbath, it's like, nope, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, you should have said that. There were all these times that Jesus is constantly being called down on for what he had done. He doesn't get upset about that. I mean, and even worse, I mean, you know, clearly the disciples were hard-headed and they didn't always get it, but Jesus doesn't get upset with them then. I mean, when Judas betrayed Jesus and turned him over, we don't even see anger from Jesus then. So what was it that Peter did? If rebuking Jesus was not what crossed the line, what was it? Well, I think we find out in Jesus' next statement. Because what he does is, first, he tells us what it means to be the Messiah, that the Son of God must undergo great suffering and be rejected and be killed. But then he describes what it means to be a disciple. If anyone wants to become my follower, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. So the way Peter crossed the line was that he wanted to take the easy way out. Because he wanted to forego all the bad stuff. He didn't want to see Jesus being rejected or handed over. He certainly didn't want to see Jesus killed. And if there was a way to avoid that, if there was an easier path to take, hey, Jesus, let's take that path. But what Jesus says, no. If you want to follow me, taking the easy way isn't an option. It's a hard path. And that, my friends, puts us in a world of trouble, doesn't it? Because let's be honest, we like that easy path, don't we? We like that path that says that we can just sort of do whatever we want. I mean, St. Paul was just talking about grace in our second reading, right? And as long as we got grace, it doesn't matter what we do. You know, God's still going to love us. We're fine. No big deal. This is easy. Following Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me, so I'm good. But clearly, Jesus wants more from us than that. He doesn't want us to just have this fluffy faith. Because faith is hard, isn't it? Because faith is supposed to change us. It's supposed to mean something. It's supposed to mean that we're showing up here. I mean, case in point, come Easter, this place is going to be packed. You know, because of all the lilies are going to be here. And you can buy lilies for $15. There's envelopes for right there and there. You know? And it's going to look so pretty. And everybody's going to come. Why? Because that's a joyous day of celebration. But today's Lent. And we're talking about hard stuff. We're talking about painful stuff. We're not talking about the risen Lord. We're talking about the crucified, dying Lord today. We don't like that. But, you know, I'm literally preaching to the choir, the people who are in the pews today, right? You're like, yeah, those people ought to be ashamed of themselves for not being in church, right? I mean, and we're here, or we're online. But even the people online are like, well, at least you're sitting on your couch. But it doesn't. I don't think that's what it's all about. I don't think it's about whether or not you're here in this place or whether you're at home. Because let me tell you, not much difference between a couch potato and a pew potato. Because our faith is more than just showing up. Our faith is actually doing the hard thing and following Jesus. Because we like this easy kind of faith. It's a faith without donation. It's a faith without participation. And it's a faith, without transformation. We get to be exactly who we are, like we like it, think the way we think, and do exactly what the world tells us to do and believe what the world tells us. We get to keep everything for ourselves. We don't have to share it with anybody, and we don't have to get up off our rear ends and do much of anything except maybe for an hour on Sunday mornings. Jesus says, if you want to be my followers, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. It means that we have to allow ourselves to be challenged. We have to allow ourselves to hear the word of God instead of the words on the news or the latest words that are on social media. We have to be challenged by what Christ says instead of what the world says. We have to be willing to share even when we don't think we have any to share. We have to be willing to help even though they aren't worth helping. We have to be willing to do the hard thing, the thing that we're called to do, instead of the thing that we want to do. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It means not being a pew potato or a couch potato. It means getting up and going. It means picking up and following. Dear friends, life is hard, and faith is hard. But the beauty of it is we're not doing it alone. We have one another, but we have a God who helps lift us up as we carry that cross. But it's not supposed to be easy. I mean, Andrew Carnegie once said that anything worth having is worth working for. Don't you think that's true of your faith? So tell me, are you going to take the easy way or the hard way? Are you willing to cross that line and take the easy way out? Take up your cross and follow. Do the hard thing. Amen.